Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the One Link podcast. I am Brad, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host with the most, James. How are you this good morning, James?
I'm fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous. It's a little cold, but the sun is shining. It's supposed to be 60 degrees later, so that's great.
Well, I think we can all be thankful that we're not experiencing German winter right now, because that's probably cold there, as our guest will be able to tell us about. So yes. James, why don't you introduce our special guest today?
Yeah, so we're continuing our conversation about working with the unreligious. And I wanted to bring Alex on the podcast. As we've said, Alex is from Germany, is German. And what's cool about him is not only does he work with the unreached or unreligious now, he was the unreligious. So I wanted to invite him on and hear his story, how God brought him to faith, and then talk about what it's like now that he's working with it and see what all we can learn from that. So Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We're so glad you could be with us today. Tell us first, what part of Germany are you in?
Currently, I'm in the northern part of Germany, which is close to Hanover or Berlin, like the north.
Now, I know you're going to probably get into this later, but just from my understanding, speaking with you and others, there's some dynamics to how religious people are, depending on if they were in former East Germany or former West Germany. Mm. Is that now you're in what was formerly was East Germany? Is that right?
Yes, that's where I was born and raised. And now I moved to Brunswick, which is kind of center, but the border between East and West goes along here.
We probably don't have time to get into all that history, but Google it and learn about German history. Very, a lot to learn, very interesting, and also a lot of difficulty to learn about as well.
So tell us, I would love to dive into all that, Brad, but you just said we can't. Alex,
sorry to limit you, James. You just follow the spirit. Whatever you wanted to ask him, go for it.
That's right. Well, Alex, tell us your story. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up. What was it like? What was your thoughts on God? Let's just jump in there.
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, I grew up in the East, and to me, I had no contact point with Christianity, or I hardly met any Christians. And everything I knew about Christianity was from TV or media in the 90s. So, you know, church, they don't get in the news when something good happens. It's always, you know, something bad, and then you hear about the church. So,
and sorry, let me ask you this. I've got to ask you this anyway. How old are you?
37.
37. So what year were you born then? Mid-80s? 86. Yep. And what year did the wall come down?
89.
Okay. That gets me what I need to know there. Okay. So now jump back in. You didn't have any contact points with Christianity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, growing up, I love to take things apart, and I really wanted to get to the bottom of stuff. And that's why later on studied mechanical engineering, because I really like to analyze, and I like to, you know, understand and, you know, even predict. If I can, you know, if I have a something to calculate, I can predict what's going to happen. And taking things apart, if I can put it back together without any leftover screws, it's a win. So super curious as a kid and trying to, you know, analyze. So I went to study mechanical engineering. But it was hard to make friends. The studies, they went pretty well. I was good with mathematics and all the science stuff. But outside of studying, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it's just predictable. I surround myself with many people, and those who stick, it's going to be my friends. But that somehow didn't work out. So I went on for an internship. My university tells me to do an internship during the studies. And they usually tell you to do that in Germany. But I had the chance to go abroad, and I took it. And that is what set something in motion I could not predict. That was not foreseeable at the beginning. So I went there. I went to South America. I stayed with a Christian host family. And they were just so loving and so open. It, you know, that broke the that broke the formula for me, that broke the calculation. That was not predictable at all.
And did they share the gospel with you? What did they do?
I was very ill prepared going there. I thought everyone speaks English, but it's not so much in South America. So I had to learn Spanish there. I didn't know any Spanish before going to that country. So they, even if they would have shared the gospel with me, I could not understand it. So they shared it without speaking a word. Well, I learned Spanish there, and I had extra classes so I could talk to them. And there was some help online. I could translate it. So that worked. But what had more an imprint on me was how they accepted and loved me, even though I was so badly prepared. You know, they just accepted me. I felt like the prodigal son coming home, and it didn't make sense. You know, I was there for Christmas, I was there for New Year's Eve and all the family gatherings, and they were all like inviting me into it. And so many like open arms. That really was amazing. And it didn't compute for me. You know, I'm like, well, I won't be here for much longer. Why are you investing? And where's the reasoning and the logic behind it? So I went back home to Germany.
Hold on, I wanted to just ask this. So how did you know they were this way because of Christ? How did you know they weren't just this way because that's how all South Americans are?
On the way how they love me, and also how they were sharing their belief in Christ. They were talking about, you know, they were talking a little bit about Bible. They were talking about church and where they're going on Sunday, and, you know, telling me why they're doing some things. It's like, oh yeah, because we believe that. And then,
okay, gotcha. So you're able to understand that the way they are living is because of their faith, even though linguistically, yes, they may not have been able to, you know, share the full gospel with you or any of that, but
yeah,
they could share bits and pieces and then you could see their life.
Yeah. And that was what was speaking the loudest. I could see their life because I was living there. I rented a room in the house, in the apartment. So I was around them 24/7. And I could see how they are treating each other and how they're treating me. And so I came back to Germany with lots of questions where their motivation came from and how they could pull it off to love me, you know, because if I would have been in their shoes, I would have built a wall. So speaking about that, all my prejudice against Christians, everything I saw in the media, that got torn down because I met them, because I met this Christian host family. And I saw how they treated each other and how they treated me. And I got curious and I started reading the Bible. And I had no physical copy, so I started reading online and I didn't understand. So I read some commentaries and I didn't understand. So my logical brain was like, who can explain that to me? Probably Christians. So I went to a church and again, I felt like this acceptance and the open arms. And why would they do that? Because, you know, what is uniting all these groups thousands of miles apart? And that was Christ. And more I could understand it. And more I, the more I read the Bible, I saw myself in these stories. And I saw, who do I want to be? Like, which example do I want to follow? Some stories, they were were good outcome. And some stories, there was nasty outcome, and I didn't want to be the other person. So yeah, I started to trust God. I challenged him. One of these examples of challenging God brought me to Brunswick, where I went for my project thesis, my final thesis. And that is where I met Connection, the student group I'm working with right now. Yeah, that set so much emotion.
It's an amazing story. I was, as you were sharing in the beginning, and you said, oh, I went abroad, and that was a key part of me becoming a Christian. My first thought was, you were about to say you went to America. And it's just a wonderful picture of the global church. You know, God is at work using people from everywhere to do to impact? I mean, you know, we haven't had a lot of podcast stories of South Americans leading Germans to come to faith, right? And so just an amazing story of God's work in the world. I think sometimes as Americans, we get a little bit isolated and we don't realize that the world is a big place. It's all connected and God is working through it all. So that I was encouraged to hear that.
So then did you, when would you say you officially like, all right, I've surrendered, I'm yours, God? When did that decision come about? Was that in Brunswick or was it before?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. The more I read and the more I wanted to accept, it felt like, oh, I'm taking another step, but it was never like this huge jump of, well, now I'm a Christian. I was like growing into it with every bit of information, every bit of, you know, talking to people about it. And then I decided, well, it's a leap of faith, and I want to pull like all chips in. I'm all in, and that was my baptism here in Brunswick. Yeah, so it's not gradually. It was gradually, but the baptism for me was the point of no return, where I'm like, okay, well, now it really counts.
What would you say? Like, I want to ask you some questions to kind of say, like, what. How does a non-religious person of the European flavor, like, what do they look at the world? How do they think? So I don't know if your answer, you can kind of answer for yourself, but also for the people around you. Like, what would you have said prior to this? Like, what would you have said was like the meaning of life? What were you trying to get? What was your aim?
I'd say my worldview was very nihilistic. There was the meaning of life beforehand. No, it's different. But beforehand, the meaning, there was not much meaning to life. One of my big hobbies is astronomy. And, you know, if you look from the outside in, what is it to the universe? You know, how I'm feeling or what's going on? Like, doesn't matter. The sun is still the same. Planets still revolve. So there's no difference. That was my worldview before, but now it's totally different.
And would you say that's pretty common, like with the students that you're working with today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say there is some belief, you know, in karma, or you do good and good comes back to you. Yeah, I think that's part of the beliefs here. Yes.
What would you say is their misconceptions or their objections to Christianity? You know, are there things for example, in America, there's a real barrier right now because people think, well, Christians are very narrow-minded. They don't accept people of other lifestyles, et cetera, et cetera. Is that similar in Germany or are there differences?
It depends on who you're talking to. I talked to some students and for them, it was like, oh yeah, been there, done that. It didn't work. Others got hurt by Christians, and that is what's repelling them. Other things are, you know, can I really trust this message? Because it's quite demanding. You know, I would rather do career or, you know, can I do both at the same time? But I think the main thing is prejudice. What the media shows or what they, you know, maybe they knew that firsthand, how they people made them feel. That's repelling.
When you put your faith in Christ, did you get much pushback from friends and family? What was the response kind of those around you that you knew?
So when I decided for Christ, it sounded to people like it's a new hobby of mine. And I don't really take it serious. It's, you know, just a topic I'm working myself into and I'm reading all about it. But there's no substance to it. It's not a life change. But then they saw, oh, his life really is changing. And yeah, for example, I swapped career, and that was a very, very big decision that not everyone could understand, from being a mechanical engineer to becoming a campus minister. It's a far stretch.
Is that, I mean, Americans, like, we switch careers like we change socks. it's not completely true, but like that's not that unusual here in America. Is that an unusual thing in Germany?
Yeah, it's very unusual. Especially the part where I'm from is you have the job basically until you retire. Now it's changed more, like you are more flexible, but you would never swap or switch out of your career. If you study mechanical engineering, then you'll be some kind of engineer until you retire.
Gotcha. So I want this the quick story, unfortunately, for time's sake. How did you make that decision to switch into campus ministry? And then I want to dig into what it's like working with the unreligious as a former unreligious.
Mm-hmm. I was working with I graduated in Brunswick and I applied for a job. I got accepted at a car company here in Germany, and I was working with a contractor with them. And that was a real good job. It was lots of fun. But God really put the students on my heart, and I saw myself not interacting much with people, but more, you know, you work on a computer nowadays. And you text and you write messages, but there's no face-to-face time. And that really was lacking. There was something that came to me as I became Christian. I'm like, oh yeah, but people is what counts. What I'm constructing here that may live through the warranty time, but lifetime, no. But you know, what's eternal is the people. And God gave me the heart for the students, and I really wanted to be around them and bring them the good news. So I decided, God helped me to decide to swap careers, to finish that job, and to start with student ministry.
And you're back. Are you on the campus where you graduated then?
I'm in Brunswick. I graduated in the east part. It's close to Dresden. That's where I graduated. And now I'm on a different campus.
Okay. So what's it like now? How can you help our students, our teams, our alumni? How can you help us understand better how to reach out to the unreligious? How do you begin getting relationships with them? How do you begin opening up the doors to share the gospel?
I think that's the biggest blessing is my studies and to see how, you know, how engineers think. The university here is a engineering focus. So there's lots of engineers here. And I do speak their language, and I know how they're thinking. You know, one example, I was out talking to a student, and I was asking him, "Hey, for engineering, you got this big book with all the formulas in it and all, you know, everything you need to know. What do you call that?" "Oh, it's the Engineering Bible." I'm like, "Well, do you think there is a book for that for life too?" And they're like, "Never thought about it." So, you know, I see the internal workings of studying and the thought processes, and I can apply those to scripture as well and bring the Bibles, bring scripture to the students.
How much, Alex, if someone, let's say from America, comes to join you, a short-term team or an intern, how hard is it for them to kind of understand the worldview of the people of Germans? I mean, you know, in some ways we're all Westerners, so we would say we have some similarities, but how hard is it for them to understand that enough to then really relate to people, or is that not a problem?
I think it would be very easy for them to relate to the students here, because they're age-wise, they're very similar in their stage of life, they're similar. So they instantly have topics to talk about. And I think German students also are very open toward, you know, Americans, and they love America. They heard so much about it. It's in the news, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful country. So German students, they have like an instant interest. And for Americans to understand the Germans, I think it's like many topics are very similar.
How do you feel like students respond when you bring up, how do you like to bring up the gospel? Like you have the example with the engineering student. Is there a typical way you like to bring it up? And then how does the typical student respond?
There are different ways I'm bringing that up. We do surveys on campus, and that is where a student-led team is such a blessing, because it's more people, and you know, I can have a reach way bigger than just me solo. More conversations that can be there simultaneously. So during those conversations, I bring up, hey, did you ever wonder what, you know, what the summary of the Bible is? Or can I share with you what Christians believe in, or what's the basis of this belief? And I like to share the three circles, you know, that they are not that much verse heavy, but they're more looking at the world, and they're more, okay, what's happening right now? What was God's intention? And how can we get back to that state?
Do you feel like students there have like a basic understanding of kind of what the story of the Bible says? Or is it like, it doesn't sound like they're like adamantly against it or violently against it, but maybe it just, are they apathetic towards it? Or do they, what do they know about it? What do they think about it?
The culture here in Germany is very much you have to work for anything good. You know, if you identify with what you can achieve, yeah, it's achievement based. And it's very countercultural to become a gift or to get a gift. For example, we were on campus handing out little Christmas gifts just in December, and students were asking, well, is that really free? Like, what's the catch here? And it's the same with the good news. They think, oh, I have to behave, or I have to work my way into salvation. And that is also what they kind of sense from people around. Yeah. So we want to share with them, hey, you know, it's a free gift. It did cost a lot, but it's free for you.
Alex, what percentage of Germans would you say are believers? I don't mean, you know, they say they're Lutheran or they go to church once a year, but what actually you would consider believers?
It's hard to give an estimate. I'd say maybe 5%.
You said 5%?
Yeah, 5 to 10.
And is that different in the eastern part, the former kind of Soviet influenced part of East Germany there? Is it less there?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yes.
So would you say likely, I mean, it sounds like this was your story. For many Germans, they don't have someone in their friend group who's a believer. They don't have a, you know, someone that they're regularly connecting with who's a believer, unless they happen to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. There's few people who have a family connection to Christians, and, you know, friend, yeah, not very much. I don't know how to express it.
We're stretching you all, pulling all your English out of you.
Yes, you are.
These are not easy topics.
Yeah. They are. There's right now, there's a problem in Germany that you go to Catholic Church, you get baptized, and you automatically subscribe to the Catholic Church. And there have been some bad news, some rumors about the church. People want to, you know, opt out of it because you pay taxes for the church as well if you are baptized. So if you want to opt out, you have to fill out a form. And in the last couple of years, the people who are working with these forms, you know, they are like, okay, sign off. They are overloaded because people are leaving the church in masses. And on the one hand, it's pretty sad, but on the other hand, it's a good thing. So now people know, oh, that's the state of Germany, actually. That is where we are.
What do you think it'll take for... Go ahead, Brad.
I was going to say, have you helped plant a church there, or are you involved in an existing church and trying to help revive that, or how does that work?
We did have a church plant as connection. We called it connection input. It started in the living room, and then we grew out of the living room. We met in a just a meeting place. Then we found a theater and we met there. That was a really good time. But we had to stop the church, I think, 2 years ago And now I made sure to have, I made sure for everyone to find a new place, a new family. And I myself went to church here in Brunswick.
What do you think it'll take for Germany to be reached again, reached for the gospel?
I think we have a very comfortable life here in Germany. I can see that, you know, people being indifferent to what the future will hold, or, okay, there are lots of worries about the future, but them being, I have everything, you know, I got my job, I got security, I got, you know, when I'm retiring, I got my pension. So you don't have to trust in God as much as you trust in your own securities. But I don't wish for a comfortable life. But I think that's one aspect. But also the career driven is, you know, they put so many other things before God. I need a good job. I need a family. I need a house. I can see that as a barrier.
Do you feel like the current German student, are they lonely? Are they pretty comfortable in their relationships?
I wouldn't say that they are lonely. There's lots of things you can do in the evening. Now, after COVID, groups have formed again, and students, they can plug in. So there will always be some who are lonely, but the majority, they are like they're plugged in and they are in groups again.
Have you seen any pattern to the people that decide to join in with you guys and join Connections? Like from ones that are not believers, like what is it that makes them?
The students, they are drawn to the community we have. I saw that in my story. You know, I had this acceptance of that family. And I could experience that even though I didn't know their language. Later on, I spoke their language. But again, that is how we want to reach the students here, is we want to invite them and make them be part of the group so that they can feel the acceptance, so that their prejudice again is torn down, like for me.
And then that opens them up to begin to consider the call of Christ and the scriptures and...
Well, James, I'm going to channel my German heritage here and say we need to be aware of the clock. No, I'm just kidding. So just our stereotypes, at least, of Germans being very on-time people. Yeah, what are some ways, Alex, that we can be praying for you? And are there any needs? You know, this is your moment to recruit people to come join you, all of our audience. So any needs you have for people to come help, or in any prayer requests?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely the need for workers here in Germany. It's a beautiful country. People are friendly, and they are different than Americans, but they are friendly. And if you are in it, in the friendship, then you can be friends for life. So Germans are like they have a heart for people. And I need students who have a heart for Germans, who want to come over and invest into these relationships, invest into the students, and yeah, help me reach my people.
Just so our audience has some idea, I know you've told us that you're the sole person in your campus ministry. How big is your campus you're trying to reach?
Around 18,000 students.
18 or 8?
18.
18,000. Okay.
18,000 students. Yes.
That's a lot. You could use some more laborers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited. We will be sending one team to you this summer. So we're excited about that. But boy, I'd love to send some more people to help.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, Alex, this has been a treat. James and I were just reminiscing before we started how we met you at a mutual friend's house and we got to know you a little bit. So this has helped us know you even more. And hopefully our audience has learned a little bit about what it's like to connect and to have hope, you know, in a place where you think, well, Germans are, you know, unreligious. Maybe they're not open to the gospel. Your story is a great hope for us to see, hey, God can work. God can break through unreligious people's hearts and reach them. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks so much for making time to be on with us today. And we hope and pray that your ministry grows and that your laborers grow and that God reaps a rich, rich, rich harvest in that harvest field there.
Thank you very much for having me. I love being on this podcast.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time on the One Link podcast.